Leviticus 23:26-32. Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement. The Lord said to Moses, "The 10th day of this month, 7th month, is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Do not do any work on that day, because it is a Day of Atonement. When atonement is made for you before the Lord your God, those who do not deny themselves on that day must be cut off from their people. I will destroy from among their people anyone who does any work on that day. You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. It is a day of Sabbath rest for you. You must deny yourselves. From the evening of the 9th day of the month until the following evening, you are to observe your Sabbath." Jesus, reveal yourself to us tonight through the Day of Atonement, through this Feast of Atonement, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last year, about last March, I preached a sermon series on Wednesday night. I don't know if you remember it or not, called "Oh, the Wonderful Cross." It was around last March. I did a three-part series on the Day of Atonement where I went into a lot of detail. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail tonight on the specifics of the Day of Atonement. But if you would like some specifics, I encourage you to go back on the website about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and you can still find those sermons there, and you can listen to them. But I have a particular direction I'm going to go tonight. Number one, Day of Atonement was the great day of national cleansing and repentance from sin. Day of Atonement was the great day of national cleansing and repentance from sin. We might need to do that again here in America. On the 10th day of the 7th month, the month of Tishrei, the month that was ushered in by the Feast of Trumpets. You remember on the first day of the month, they would blast the trumpets long and loud all day to prepare the people 10 days before the Day of Atonement to get them ready. The Day of Atonement is also called the Day of Judgment, the Sabbath of Sabbaths, the Day of Redemption, the Day of the Fast, and the Great Fast. It is the one day in the year when the high priest would go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the animal sacrifice and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And this offering of the innocent substitute sacrificial animal made possible the atonement for the sins of the nation. The word atonement means to cover. To cover. The mercy seat. The atonement seat. The seat that covered. So when the Day of Atonement came, the sins of the nation, because of the sacrifice, were being covered by the sacrifice that they were making. And if you would like to read the procedures that went into all of this, you can go back to Leviticus chapter 16 and read those. Number two, Day of Atonement was a day of godly sorrow, godly repentance, and confessions of sins. I put godly there because you can have sorrow without God. I put godly repentance because I guess you can repent, change your mind, turn from something without God. But this was a day of godly sorrow, godly repentance. It was a time of mourning before God. It was a time to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, not just before man, not just before someone that you had hurt or done something wrong against, but before God. It was the only required day in all of Scripture for fasting. The day that you had to fast. There are other fasts in Scripture, but this is a required, a commanded fast. In fact, if you did not fast, you were cut off from the people. Now, the Jewish people would perform many good deeds to prepare themselves for this godly sorrow, godly repentance, and confession of sins during the 10 days between the Feast of Trumpets, so the first day of the month, the first day of the new year, and the Day of Atonement. This is according to Jewish tradition. They would start performing good deeds for 10 days. As soon as the trumpet blasts, we got to get ready for the Day of Atonement. So they would pray many profound prayers at the synagogue services that they attended. They were seeking God's forgiveness and mercy even those 10 days before the Day of Atonement. This is not Scripture. This is tradition. This is the Jewish writings. But this lets us know the mindset and the attitude that was going through the minds of the Jewish people that we read about in Scripture. This 10-day period is known as the Days of Awe. The Days of Awe. Or the Awesome Days. I like that. It's also known as the 10 Days of Repentance. As the people prepare themselves spiritually, emotionally, for the Day of Atonement. Again, one of the themes traditionally, again, not Scripture, but traditionally from the Jewish writings leading up to the Day of Atonement, was a focus on God having written names or writing names down in His book. That sounds familiar to us. You hear about having your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Where did those Jewish writers in the New Testament get that from? They were Jewish. In their whole life, they have been taught that God writes your name down in a book. But on these 10 days, starting at the Feast of Trumpets, God started to write down who will live and who will die over the coming year. This is a tradition. Again, not Scripture, tradition, okay? Who will have a good life and who will have a bad life for the upcoming year? The books are started to be written on the first blast of the trumpet at the Feast of Trumpets. But the actions taken during the Days of Awe, during the Awesome Days over those 10 days, could alter God's decrees. Again, this is history, this is tradition, this is... Don't start looking, where's this at in the Bible? Tradition, okay? I'm telling you, just tradition. And they believed actions that changed God's decrees, what He said He was going to do, were repentance, prayer, and good deeds. And those good deeds mainly consist of charity, giving financially to the poor. And on the Day of Atonement, when the final sacrifice was made, the books were sealed at Yom Kippur on the Day of Atonement for the upcoming year. It was too late. Whatever was going to happen the coming year, God had decided it now, and it was in the book, and the book was closed. So they would express concern for each other and hope for each other by greeting one another with the phrase, "May your name be inscribed in the book of life and not in the book of death." May your name be inscribed in the book of life. Now, the customs at this time were to seek reconciliation with people that you had wronged in the past year. So during this 10-day period, you would go about seeking to reconcile, to make things right with those that you had hurt. Now, a book called the Talmud, the ancient book of Jewish tradition, of Jewish life during that time, said the Day of Atonement only covers the sins between God and man, or man and God. To atone for sins against another person, you must personally go and seek reconciliation and right the wrongs if possible during these 10 days. That's a lot of pressure to put on one day, on the Day of Atonement, covering the sins of a nation for an entire year. And that's a lot of pressure to put on a whole nation to right every wrong that you have done over the past year in those 10 days. I'm going somewhere, so stay with me, all right? Number three, Jesus fulfilled the Day of Atonement. Jesus fulfilled the Day of Atonement. Now, while these things that I just told you are not scripture, they do, I believe this, describe the mindset of the people living at that time. You and I will do a lot of things. Our nation will do a lot of things. That's not scripture. But I could describe some things that would describe the mindset of our nation. Let's say we live by those things. So the things that I described to you just now described, I believe, the mindset of the Jewish people, not just in Leviticus, but all the way up to the time of Jesus, many still today in the world. But Jesus fulfilled the Day of Atonement. When he went into the heavenly Holy of Holies, the book of Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 10, tells us, with his own blood that he shed for the sins of the world, like that high priest did on the Day of Atonement when he would go into the earthly temple, into the earthly Holy of Holies with the sacrifice, Jesus went in himself to the heavenly temple with his own blood. Believers have been forgiven because of what Christ did, because of our high priest, and made clean once and for all by the blood of Messiah Jesus. His blood did what the blood of bulls and goats could never do for us. And his blood just did not cover our sins, atone for our sins, which it did. It took them away to be remembered no more. Hallelujah. Because of Christ, our future, our eternity is sealed. And not just for the next year. Because this was just all a yearly game, almost, if I can use such a phrase. This was the end of the feast season. So we're good with God for a year. And we'll start back over come Passover. Which is something to be said and something to be learned from that. But because of Christ, our future is sealed by the Holy Spirit, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and not just for a year. And not because of what we have done. Not because of the sacrifice we have made, and not because of any reconciliation we made with God or with man. And now, through this good news of Jesus Christ, he has paved a way for us to reconcile with our brothers. We don't just have a 10-day period. And nope, you didn't make it. The books are closed for a year. He was worthy enough to take the scroll. He was worthy enough to take the written book and open the book. And now the way is open for us to have reconciliation with God and reconciliation with each other. The blood of Jesus purifies us so that we can have a continuous, and not just for a year, fellowship with God and with one another. Number four. I told you I was going somewhere. You didn't even believe me. Number four. God established every 50th year as a year of jubilee in the Jewish administration of time. God established every 50th year as a year of jubilee in the Jewish administration of time. I thought we were talking about the Day of Atonement. And now here you are talking about the year of jubilee. Where'd that come in? Stay with me. Quit getting ahead of me, all right? The year of Jubilee. This was a special year when all the prisoners were set free, when all the property, all the land that belonged to families was returned to its original owner, and the land rested for a year without being worked. This would be a year of proclaiming liberty throughout the land. It would be a great time, the year of Jubilee, of great rejoicing throughout all of Israel. The year of Jubilee, that 50th year, when it was time to celebrate the Jubilee, the great celebration, freedom in the land, the year of Jubilee began on the Day of Atonement. That was the day Jubilee began, on the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement that year, beginning Jubilee, would point to the great year of Jubilee when Messiah Jesus would come to the earth to bring His rule, to bring His reign, to bring His liberty. Then God's people will be set free once and for all from their trials and burdens of life. That's what every Jubilee, every year they celebrated, every 50th year when they celebrated Jubilee, maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year when Messiah will show up. And I can imagine, I don't know if Jubilee fell during David's time, but maybe David is the Messiah. No, he's just the son of David will be Messiah. Okay, well, we're still waiting. We're still waiting. Then when Jubilee shows up, maybe this will be the year Messiah shows up and liberty and freedom and Christ's reign, the anointed one's reign will be throughout the land and eternal, where the rule of earth will be restored to the godly, and there will be rest in the land. Luke chapter 4, 16 through 21. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place read is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You know what that is? It's Jubilee. Very good. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor is another way of saying to proclaim this is the year of Jubilee. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. He began by saying to them, Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is the only place in the gospel where the year of Jubilee is mentioned. The only place. The only place where Jubilee is mentioned. I believe Jesus is telling us that His life, that His death, that His burial, that His resurrection, that who He is the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement that will bring us in to the year of Jubilee. Jubilee is what Jesus went around doing. That's what His ministry was about. His ministry was about Jubilee. He was full of the Spirit, and He proclaimed Jubilee. Now, many don't like Jubilee. A lot of people don't like the year of Jubilee. A lot of people don't like the year of the Lord's favor. Because if it's Jubilee and it's the year of the Lord's favor, you got to preach good news to the poor. And a lot of people don't like the poor receiving good news. That's just the way it was then. That's the way it's always been throughout history. You know, poor, who cares about the poor? Jesus does. And if you're going to be living in Jubilee, you have to as well. You know, I only have to care about the poor for about 10 days leading up to the Day of Atonement so I can get my name written in the book. But Jesus said, "I have fulfilled that," so every day is Jubilee. Freedom to the prisoners. People don't like that. You know, they're on their own. You know, you do the crime, you do the time, and out of sight, out of mind. But Jesus says, we're in Jubilee because I fulfilled the Day of Atonement. Jesus says, not anymore. I have paid the price for them, and they are invited to the Jubilee. I'm not talking about letting dangerous prisoners out of prison. I'm saying we go there and proclaim Jubilee. Recovery of sight for the blind. Well, that's beyond my control. I can't do that. So I guess I'll just throw them a little bit of change, those beggars, on my way into the synagogue, on my way into the temple, 10 days before the Day of Atonement, you know, make sure, just a little insurance so I can get my name written down in the book and I'm good for a year. But Jesus says, I have the power to help the blind and give sight to the blind, and I will show you what you need to do by leading you by the same Holy Spirit that led me. Then they can join in the Jubilee to set the oppressed free. The oppressed free. The slaves, the women, the bottom of the rung people, those who are not, that are considered second class citizens, they are invited into the Jubilee as well. Well, all of this will happen when Jesus returns the second time. I hear that a lot. This isn't happening now. This will just happen when Jesus comes again. But Jesus said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said. So what does that mean? I believe Jesus is Lord right here and right now. And that we can't reduce Jesus just to Secretary of Afterlife Affairs. He's Lord right now. He's President right now. He's Prime Minister right now. Not just in the sweet by and by. We can have Jubilee right here and right now. That's what the book of Acts was about. The book of the Acts of the Apostles, that's what they were doing. They were going around acting like Jesus and proclaiming Jubilee. I like this passage. I always love this passage in Acts chapter 3, 1 through 8. One day, this is Jesus, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, been told to go into all the world, preach the gospel. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. What happened? Jubilee. Jubilee happened. This man was oppressed. He was a beggar, bottom of the barrel, sight to the blind, another way of saying healing to the lame. The lame will walk. What was happening here? Jubilee. Jesus, fulfilling the Day of Atonement, has kicked off Jubilee. And I believe he's inviting us and the church to join in. To join in. We can have a Jubilee right now. Because Jesus is Lord right now and for all of eternity. Told you I was going somewhere. Lord, thank you that you took me somewhere on this trip. I was trying to do other things for this sermon. I went back and looked at last year's sermons, was trying to just give some more details, and then you just said, no, no, no. And you took me on this trip. I didn't plan on this at all. Just kind of fell together today, Lord. I just felt like your Holy Spirit telling me that we can have jubilee because you fulfilled the Day of Atonement. Not for 10 days, not for 1 year, but the book is open, our name is written down. We're reconciled with you, we can be reconciled with each other. And we're on a mission of jubilee. To preach good news to the poor. Help us to do this, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to give sight to the blind. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to speak life to the oppressed. May this be fulfilled in our hearing today. Let it be so. Let it be so. Let your people speak jubilee. I know they got people in their lives that are hurting. May they speak jubilee. May you anoint them with your Holy Spirit. Baptize them in your Holy Spirit now. They have family members that are hurting, that need someone to come along, filled with the Holy Spirit, that's going to speak jubilee, oh God. May your favor rest upon them. May your face rest upon them. May your grace be given to them. May you give them peace. And may they go out into their family, to their friends, to a ministry, O God, and bring jubilee in the name of Jesus. I ask this, let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Go give them jubilee Saturday, Ken, all right?